Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 6, Conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva, Text 7. Prema Patipara Nibhina Pulaka Angaha Atinivrataha Ananda Samplave Leenaha na apashyam ubhayam mune premati bhara nirbhina pulakango tinirvata ananda samplave leeno na apashyam ubhayam mune Premati bhara nirbhina Pulakango tinivrita Ananda samplave lino Napasyam ubhayam mune Prema prati Premati bhara nirbhina Pulakango tinirvritaha Ananda samplave lino Napasyam upayam mune Pulakango tinirvritaha Ananda Sampavelina Ananda Sampavelina Paranirvina Mulakango Tinivita Ananda Samplavelina Napasyam Ubayam Mune Ananda samplave lino napasyam upayam mune premati bhara nirbhina pulakango tinivrita Ananda samplave lino napasyam upayam mune Prema, love, atipara, excessive, nirbhina, especially distinguished, pulaka, feelings of happiness, angaha, different bodily parts, atinivrittaha, being fully overwhelmed, Ananda, ecstasy, samplave, in the ocean of, Nina, absorbed in, Na, not, Apasyam, could see, Upayam, both, Mune, O Vyasadeva. Translation. O Vyasadeva, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord.
Purport. Spiritual feelings of happiness and intense ecstasies have no mundane comparison. Therefore, it is very difficult to give expression to such feelings. We can just have a glimpse of such ecstasy in the words of Sri Narada Muni. Each and every part of the body or senses has its particular function. After seeing the Lord, all the senses become fully awakened to render service unto the Lord, because in the liberated state the senses are fully efficient in serving the Lord. As such, in that transcendental ecstasy, it so happened that the senses became separately enlivened to serve the Lord. This being so, Narada Muni lost himself in seeing both himself and the Lord simultaneously.
Premati bara nirbhina pulakango tini vritaha ananda samplave lino na pasyam ubayam une. So it's a mystical and transcendental in the sense that it's beyond the direction of the individual living entity. The ecstasy that's being described here is a special arrangement by the Lord for that devotee. Krishna wants the devotees, he wants all living entities to experience unlimited happiness and pleasure, ananda, through prema. And so when someone succeeds, then he showers his blessings, just as in the field of education, if there is a student who passes all the grades of different levels of education, finally achieves the highest attainment, then everyone is pleased. And they, all the organizers of the educational institution, everyone showers their recognition upon this person. He's succeeded so nicely. We've never had such. So in the same way, Narad Muni's position is unique. It's not so easy to develop prema, but he did. He developed it. Once coming to the material world, not easy again to become purified, because after all, we came, living entities come to the material world because of a envy of the Lord. Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhogavan Chakare Nikatista Mayatare Japatiyatare. Because of a desire to compete with the Lord, to remove his position of authority. And therefore the living entities come here, and that is very deep rooted desire to get rid of that and to replace it with a pure, loving service attitude is really an extraordinary thing. Therefore, Krishna says, to be a devotee is very rare. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mambeti tatvata. It's a very rare thing in this material world. What to speak of in Kali Yuga, in the material world? The Kali Yuga, mandasa mandamatayo mandabhagya hyupadutaha. The living entities are not very interested in spiritual life. They're not interested in love of God. They're interested in love of dog, love of cat, love of woman, love of man, love of everything else but God. And so they relegate God to the category of being formless, impersonal, no personality. Then the term love of God becomes a moot point. How can you discuss love of God if God has no personality? He's not. So in this way they eliminate the principle of love of God, and then it becomes more simply, do you believe in God? If you believe in God, that's already something extraordinary. And then that's something that cannot be quantified. As Max Planck said, if something is real, then it must be measurable. So, by eliminating the personality of God, then the whole idea of love of God becomes, you can't measure it. How can you measure love of something that has no personality? So it's not real. So then the idea is, well, belief in God. How can you believe in something that's not real? That's also imagination. So in this way, the scientists have very expertly arranged things in such a way that any kind of love or belief in God must be categorized as simply a sentiment. It's not scientific. There's no way of quantifying or measuring the existence of God through scientific means. And we would agree that there is no way to measure or appreciate the transcendence through scientific means, because scientific means materialistic or instruments made of matter. Instruments made of matter cannot conceive or cannot approach the transcendence. Atakse Krishna Namadi na Pavet Graham Indriyai Sevan Muki Hi Jiva Do Svayami Vaspratyata. The senses are too blunt. They're not capable of entering into the transcendence. We cannot see with our eyes. We cannot hear with our ears. We cannot touch any of the transcendental attributes, perceptions. So, how to approach them? That is also described in that verse. Sevan Muki Hi Jivado Swayameva Svaratada. That through devotional service, which begins with the tongue. Tongue has two businesses. One is to vibrate and the other is to taste. So by vibrating the Vedic hymns or the transcendental glories of the Lord, and by tasting the prasad that is offered to the Lord. As we were hearing last night, Ambarish Maharaj engaged all of his senses in transcendental activities. Tongue for tasting prasadam, the eyes for seeing the form of the Lord, the nose for smelling the incense and flowers offered to the Lord, the legs for carrying one to the temple, the arms for cleansing the temple, the head for bowing down before the Lord. In this way, the whole apparatus is transformed when one uses his karmana manasa gira nikilas vapi avastasu jivan mukta su chite. When he engages his mind, his words, and his body in the service of the Lord, then he's liberated. Then it becomes transcendental. And this is the science of devotional service. This is the purpose of human life. There is no other purpose. If someone thinks that the purpose of human life is just to eat, sleep, mate, and defend, then this is animals' civilization. The animals are suited for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and working off their karma. Because they are suffering now, or enjoying, whichever way you look at it, they are getting the results of their past fruitive desires. And they're getting some enjoyment. You can say that the birds also get some enjoyment and the trees get some enjoyment because they're getting sense gratification. But they're also getting suffering. So in this way, they're working off their karmic reactions. But when one comes to the human form of life, Janame Pita Mata Pai Guru Krishna Nahi Mile Bhaja Hariyai. Human form of life is a chance to get Guru and Krishna. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. But in every form of life, one gets mother, father, sisters, brothers, wives, children. These things are available every species. We're taking it as such an important thing. Oh, I have a family. Family becomes the topmost consideration. Oh, I have to take care of my family. But family business, this is also available in the ants and the insects and the birds and everyone. So what is the unique thing about human form of life? Tadvijnanartham sagurum eva abhigachet, that one is supposed to inquire. Atato brahma jigyasa, into the purpose of life, about the spiritual matters. And in order to do that, one has to approach a spiritual master. It's not possible to understand this science, to understand the absolute truth by one's own endeavor. Just as one cannot practice law just by reading some books at home. You cannot read some books and go into the law court and practice law. Because there are so many things to understand. And one has to be trained by someone who's actually himself a master. Tadvijnanartham sugurum eva abhigachat samipani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. Shrotriyam and brahmanishtam are the two qualifications for a bona fide spiritual master, that he has heard from proper authorities and he's realized he's practiced it. It's like in law, the lawyer, he must have studied and he must be registered, or shall we say, certified that he can practice and that he's following the rules and regulations. So in this way, he becomes authorized. So similarly, in spiritual life, this is the process. And spiritual life is really the only life. Anything else is not even human form of life. Dharmena hina pashubhi samanam. Without dharma or without transcendental knowledge, one is simply on the platform of the animals, pashubhi samanam. It's equal to human, to animal life. But unfortunately, in the world, no one knows this. They think that the animal propensities are the all in all. And they simply go on exploiting these things. Punat punas charvat charanam, chewing the chewed, again and again, never realizing. Therefore, they are compared to the mudhas, avajananti ma mudha. Because they simply are so foolish that they go on carrying the heavy load of the burden of material life, material fruit of activities, and they never learn. It's like the ass is so foolish that they actually can put a stick in front of the ass with a carrot on it. And he will keep carrying his load thinking that I'm going to get that carrot. And although this goes on day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and he never gets closer to the carrot, he never figures it out that something's wrong here. Even other animals you see, like a cat or a dog, if you hold up the item and he jumps a few times and you pull it away from him, then he gets the idea that he won't jump anymore. Okay, forget it. This is a waste of time. He can understand you're pulling it away. The food, he jumps, he'll try a few times and you pull it away, then he'll say, all right, forget it. I'm not going to waste my energy. So a dog, cat, they have some intelligence, but the ass, no intelligence. Therefore, people who are hard-working laborers, employed by some boss, with the carrot in front, that no, just keep working, you'll get happiness. Well, where's the happiness? Show us anyone in the material world who's happy. Where will you give us the example of a happy person? Can you say? Even Indra, can you say Indra's happy? No, I've read stories about Indra. Indra gets in trouble. Indra's his desires get him in trouble. He went after some other sage's wife, and because of that he was cursed. And sage cursed him. He had vaginas put all over his body. And he was so disgusted. Oh my goodness, now how can I go out? I have 1,000 vaginas on my body. You can just imagine. I mean, even if you had to go out with vaginas all over your body, it would be very embarrassing and disgusting. So Indra, he had this. And then he begged, pleaded, please, please, this is too much. It's too much terrible. I know I'm lusty, but this is too much. So they changed all of his vaginas into eyes. Therefore, he's known as one who has 1,000 eyes. He has eyes all over his body. But that suffering, he had to go through so much humiliation. And then when he, due to his lust for his position and his enjoyment, he killed Brahmana. Then he got the sinful reaction. And the sinful action was personified, was running after him. And she was this very old, wretched woman with dirty clothes, stained with vomit and smelling bad. And she was running after him, and he had to run away from her, old age. And he had to hide, and he had to take blessings from others to please protect him. He had to go incognito when Hiranyakashipu took over his kingdom. He had to go and hide in the water for long periods of time. So where's the happiness? Even Indra, the king of heaven, is not happy. There's so many examples. He committed an offense to his spiritual master. Then he was defeated by all the demons. He lost his kingdom, lost everything. And he had to fight again to get it back. So where's the peace? Where's the happiness? If even Indra has to face all these miseries. Therefore, Krishna summarizes the whole compendium of Vedic knowledge. Abrahma bhuvana loka puna arvitanarjuna mamupechita konteya punarjanman vidite. That from the upper planets, Brahmaloka, down to Patala Loka, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. This is real intelligence. Solve the problem. Ultimate solution, not these stopgap measures. Oh, it's too cold, I get a heater. It's too hot, I get air conditioning. Oh, I didn't use my human form of life properly, now I get the body of a horse. This is not solution. Punak, punak, charvita, charvana. They're simply again and again taking different bodies. Sadarya bhakshana kare. And in different yoni. Yoni means womb. They take birth in different wombs and they get different bodies and they eat garbage. They eat abominable things. This is life. This is material life. And one who's not serious about spiritual life, he's in this category. Svavidvaraha strakkarai sangstutak purushak pashu nayat karna patopeto jatu nama gadagraja. They don't want to hear about gadagraja, Krishna. So, they are compared to the hogs, the dogs, the camels, and the asses. The hogs, they have no discrimination about what to eat. They eat stool. They have sex with their sister, mother, daughter, and they live in a filthy condition. This is hog life. And the asses we already described, and the camels, they're also foolish because they eat thorns. And they chew the thorns, and it cuts their tongue and their gums, and they taste the blood, and they think, well, this is nice. Nice taste. It goes on eating thorns. They're compared to the foolish sensual enjoyers who expel all their semina. Actually, semina is blood. It takes 40 to 80 drops of blood to produce one drop of semina. So he's expelling the semina thinking this is pleasure. a taste of his own blood wasted. But he's compared to the camel. Dog and the dog. Dog. He has to have a master. If a dog has no master, he's in a very awkward position. He can be, just like you see the dogs in India, they sleep in the streets. So if at night, because he has no home, he has no master, he sleeps in the street. If a car comes and he's a little inattentive, he gets run over by the car. But a dog who has a master, at least he can live. He has some home, he has a doghouse, and he has a yard he stays in. He's safe. And he gets food. So the comparison is that the person, the human being, he has to have a master. He has to go and get his degree, and he has to wag his degree in front of the boss. Please, I'll be your servant and get, you know, employ me. If he has no employment, then he has to go and beg at stand in line at the welfare office. Please give me some handout. You know, all right, here, take some crumbs. So this is dog life. Dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Why? Because they will not surrender to hearing about Krishna. That's the only thing that Krishna asks for. Manmana, bhava mad bhakto, just hear about me. Just hear about my glories. Engage in devotional service. Then I will take care of all your troubles. Everything will be solved. But no, they will not. So they have to take birth again and again. Any questions?
Here, Narad Muni is describing his condition after he saw the Lord. So, is this the condition of all the living entities in the spiritual world always? They're always in this condition.
Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. Of course, everyone is unique. And Narad Muni's position, of course, is especially prominent. He's such an exalted devotee, therefore he's even considered the greatest devotee. So his position of ecstasy may be beyond others. But still, in principle, yes, everyone in the spiritual world is in Ananda. In the back, there's a question.
It is said that when we see the deities, we see the Supreme Lord directly, and but we don't experience the same feelings as Narada Muni. So is there any difference by our seeing the
Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santak Sadaiva Hridayeshu Valokayanti Yam Shamasundaram Achintaguna Surupam Rovindamari Purusham Tamahamadami. One sees, if one's eyes are anointed with the salve of love of Krishna, then he'll see Krishna in ecstasy. He'll see the Lord and the deity. But there's also another scene. Arche Vishnu Shiladir Gurushu Nanamati Vaishnave Jati Bhute. One who sees the deity as stone. So we're somewhere in the middle. We don't see the deity as only stone. Because otherwise, why are we dancing before the deity? Why are we bathing? Why are we offering garlands and cooking and bowing down? Obviously, we don't see the deity just as stone. But we also don't have pure love on our eyes. Therefore, we're not fainting. When Lord Chaitanya came into the temple of Jagannath, he fainted as soon as he saw him. He was overwhelmed with love of Krishna and ecstatic symptoms. So we're not fainting. That means we don't have that love. But we're somewhere in the middle, therefore we're practicing bhakti yoga to try to develop our love, cultivate. From adho shraddha tata sadhu sangha tabhajana kriya anartin nivritti syat. In this way, step by step, tata nishta, tata
ruchi, tata, sakti, asakti, then bhava and prema. So step by step, we are going on the path. Well, one has to be patient, and the emotions, they will come in due course. The ecstasy will come. But ecstasy is one of the later stages. First, one has to be steady, nishtha. He has to get rid of the anartas, the unwanted habits. If one still holds on to materialistic habits, how can he expect to get the...
One's eyes have to be smeared with premanjana, even if Krishna is present personally, because on the battle of on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna himself was present in person, but still there were a lot of people who were inimical over the present there.
So what's the question?
So even if Krishna is present in person, not just deities, do we have to have that?
Yes, Krishna may be present, but one may not have love for him. Maybe have envy for him or hatred. These are also indirect. There's five types of direct relationship, and there's seven indirect relationships. So one may have a chivalrous relationship with the Lord also. Wants to fight against him. Different types of relationships. But yes, one's heart has to be pure. In order to have love for Krishna, the heart has to be pure. How to get the heart pure? Well, it may come by sadhana, sadhan siddhi, or there may be some that are nitya siddhi, eternally pure. They never become contaminated. They never become envious of the Lord. And there are others who are kripa siddha. They become pure by the mercy of Krishna or Guru or some Vaishnava. They get the mercy that way, they become purified. Generally, we're advised to follow the path of sadhana bhakti. We don't wait for kripa siddha. We don't expect. That would be nice if we can get kripa siddha, the mercy of Guru or Krishna. But we shouldn't expect it. Just like one shouldn't expect a honorary degree from Harvard. If he wants the degree, he should go, apply, take the courses, do the studies. That's the normal way. Any other?
It says here that after seeing the Lord, all the senses became fully awakened. So my question is dealing with dreams and also with palm readings, tarot cards, other things that which can see into the future or dealing with some kind of, you know, subtle, I don't know, just...
So what's the question?
So my question is, just to Veda back that up, do we say that tarot cards are real, people can read the future by this chance that comes out, these cards come, or that the lines on your hands represent, you know, where your life is going?
Astrology and astrology. Lines in the hand, yes. Error. That's Vedic. This is a material science that the stars tell a story about the person's past, present, future. And the lines in the hand, also it says the lines in the forehead. Yeah, there's different lines that one can read. Now, as far as these cards, I don't know whether they're bona fide. There was some question about numerology, and Prabhupada said that was bona fide. But whether or not those today are actually masters of the science or not is another thing. There's also, one can know the future by omens. He knows this is an omen, this is, something has happened, he can understand what's going to be. It's like if the left arm shivers, for a man, then this means something auspicious or inauspicious. For a woman, the left arm, it means the opposite. It means, if one means auspicious, the other means inauspicious. If the right hand quivers, one can understand something auspicious or inauspicious going to happen. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.